But I'm going to talk about retreat in a way that maybe assumes that you haven't, because most people haven't been on retreat. And even if you have been on retreat, you know, retreat is a time to always be a beginner. And so we can hear things and learn fresh things about what it is to be on retreat. And when I was thinking about how to just pull some ideas together, because this is the first time I really focused in a very focused way, talked about what is a retreat. Just wanted to record this. I just want to be sure it's recording. Yeah, I think so. Yes. I thought about retreat as a kind of a technology. You know, that so much thought and consideration have gone into planning and creating a system or an environment in which we can really focus on becoming mindful, practicing meditation, coming to our present moment experience. There's a story about the Buddha of compassion, Amitabha Buddha. And it's said that Amitabha Buddha creates a pure land. In Tibetan, it's called Dewa Chen. And in this pure land, everything supports practice. So I remember there were some years when I was going a lot down to the meditation center in Barre, Massachusetts, the Insight Meditation Society. And when I started going there, I felt, wow, I've arrived in Dewa Chen. It just felt like, you know, the staff had such, you know, just compassion and concern for that everything worked well, the schedule, the environment had been so well thought out, the beautiful grounds, and so on. And I just felt that so much was working to support my awakening. And I have so much gratitude for that. So in this setting, it's not a meditation retreat center. But there really is a tremendous amount of support, and so I encourage you to I'm going to point out what some of those supports are, and encourage you to make use of them. You know, it's this whole idea of going on retreat is actually something that is to a certain extent a Western, somewhat modern invention, because traditionally, when somebody wanted to withdraw from their daily life and practice spiritual practices, they would find a teacher and they would go live with them, or they would go to a monastery. You know, and this practice of intensive meditation with the intention of waking up in our lives was really something that was thought of as primarily for monks and nuns, the monastics. And it's really only in the 20th century that it became a very widely practiced form of spiritual practice for lay people, people living and working in the world. So the first thing I would like to talk about is silence. So silence is, you know, sometimes people say, "Oh my gosh, I'm always talking. I don't know if I can be silent for a whole weekend, much less, you know, a week." Silence, this practice of noble silence, is an opportunity to let go of the kind of habitual interactions that we have with people. Sort of the chit-chat, the continual, how are you, the nods, the smiles. It's not that we are trying to be unfriendly, but we're giving a gift to ourselves and to others of having the space to just be present and turn our attention inward to our heart, to our whole experience in the present moment. And as we discover when we stop talking, it doesn't mean that the mind becomes silent. The mind keeps chattering. And so we notice that. And that's one of the things that we do notice, is that how much the mind keeps going on. And we can bring our attention to the body, to our breath, and just find a deeper presence, a presence which grounds us in this moment. And that is, that's a way of coming home to ourselves. And it's a way of just living from a deeper place. So we stop talking, kind of conversationally to each other. We let go of the, if you happen to pass somebody and you make eye contact, don't go into a big thing in your head about it. It's okay. But see if you can just kind of drop your eyes down so that you're not kind of grabbing contact with the eyes. Something I like to do is in a very natural way, a smile comes to my face because I'm feeling goodwill toward the other. And if they are looking at my face, then I'm smiling, and I'm extending that goodwill to them. So, of course, we turn off our phones, we turn off our, we don't make phone calls, so if you haven't, finished up your contact, it's good if you could do that before we actually gather, but if you do need to make a call to say, tell somebody you've arrived, please, do that very quickly and do it at a distance. Text messaging, email, of course, all of that, just let it go until Sunday afternoon, and it feels good to let it go, really. It can become quite a habit, quite addictive. So just letting it go can feel very refreshing. And also while I'm talking about those things, could you please turn off the beepers on your watch if you have a little alarm beeper on your watch that rings on the hour? Please turn that off. So mindfulness, which is the core practice in insight meditation, is present moment awareness. So present moment awareness of the body, present moment awareness of feelings, of emotional states. We're experiencing these very directly. So we want to get out of our conceptual minds. We want to not be always processing through, ideas, but just in a very immediate way, experiencing, feeling this step, I'm walking on the earth, feeling this breath, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. just to come home to this simplicity of ourselves. And so we ask that you not read and write. That just puts us back into ideas. You might have a wonderful book that you brought with you that's been very inspiring, but actually it's better not to read it on retreat. Just put it aside and let your practice be your inspiration. During the Dharma talks, you might have the habit of taking notes during Dharma talks, but it's actually not helpful. Listening to a Dharma talk is itself a practice. It's a practice of deep listening. Just listening with the heart, listening with the whole body, and just listening in a very open way without discrimination. You know, and then if you have something that really touched you and you want to write it down, you can do that, you know, when you get back to your room, or if you have a notepad, you want to just write a word or two. But it really will be a distraction if you're continually taking notes. If you write a journal, again, if you feel that it's helpful to write down a word or two about your experience, something came up for you and you want to reflect on it. In a way, sometimes writing a few words in a journal can help us to let go of an experience rather than mulling it over and over in the mind, because it was an insight or it was something important, and so just writing a few words in your journal can let it go. But we can also make a project. I remember being on retreat once, and I was writing all these wonderful insights in my journal and writing poems, and I realized at a certain point that writing in the journal was becoming a whole. I was making a whole thing of it, and I realized I should just let it go and be just present in the moment. So that's all about silence. Silence together, inner silence, the cultivation of silence by not kind of holding on to conceptual experiences, but trying to really be open to direct experiences. So another thing that I'd like to talk about, which is part of this whole environment of creating a safe and supportive environment for retreat, are the five precepts. I'm not going to talk about them a lot because I know you got some information about them when you registered for the retreat. But I'll just give a kind of an overview. These five precepts are really all about non-harming and affirming the deep interconnectedness of life. We're all part of this web of life, and we all share consciousness, and this practice of the five precepts really affirms that this life, respect for life, and a connection, a deeper interconnection with life. So we don't kill. That's the first. We don't kill. Even a spider, we don't kill a spider, because the spider is part of the web of life. They're great web spinners, and they show us that web. And we even protect life. And we don't steal. So you can think about stealing. Obviously we don't, go into somebody's room and steal. But also this precept of not stealing is about taking what is offered freely, and being having a sense of contentment with what is offered. So if you're not sure if something is offered, like Janet talked about the food and the shampoos and the hand creams, and if you're not sure if something is offered and if it's okay to take this or that, you can put a note on the board and, you know, ask the or Janet a note and ask her, is it okay to, you know, to take something that you'd like, you need. The third precept has to do with not engaging in careless sexual relations, which can cause harm to others. So on retreat, we practice celibacy. And it involves keeping our sexual energy contained. So we don't flirt. You know, we don't we dress in a way that is modest and doesn't call attention to the body in a sexual way. So we're just really being considerate of ourselves and others in this way. So the fourth precept has to do with speech, and it's not to lie. And on retreat, we're engaging in noble silence. When we do speak, whether it's in a group or in an individual meeting with a teacher, we are we're speaking honestly, and we're speaking from our experience. So we're not trying to create a persona or aggrandizement of ourselves. We're just bringing an honest question or comment or reflection to the practice. And then the fifth is to avoid intoxicants that cause heedlessness. So usually these are drugs and alcohol. Consider that. So we're not using drugs and alcohol or other intoxicants. But it's also a reflection on, you know, what does actually intoxicate? You know, what does cause heedlessness? Are there experiences or substances that cause us to kind of lose awareness, lose this presence, mindfulness? So another focus, it's actually implied within the precepts, but I want to highlight it, is this a practice of simplicity. In this, so, you know, this is a beautiful center, and, you know, the retreat centers vary greatly in degree of comfort and, you know, do we have dorm-style beds or do we have private rooms and, you know, what kind of bathrooms and what kind of food. So there's, you know, there's a great range, and some retreat centers have, you know, gourmet food, and some retreat centers have very, very simple food. And this, you know, this retreat center is pretty comfortable, but I'm sure that any one of us can find something that we would prefer were different. You know, we might find that we prefer that the food maybe is, you know, less cooked. You know, the vegetables are more crisp, or the salad bar is more varied, or you know, the bread is more whole grain, or the bed is, you know, too hard or too soft, or, you know, Goldilocks. Or the schedule, you know, is too rigorous or too lax. So just become aware of these discriminations and these judgments, and see if you can, you know, there's a saying, the great way is not difficult for those who are not attached to their preferences. You know, so yeah, you like chocolate ice cream, of course, but no, you know. Notice the preferences. Notice the attachment to the preferences. That's great practice. You know, our preferences are really an opportunity to see how attached we are that things be the way we want them to be, and to learn that things are as they are. And we can open to gratitude, you know, for this wonderful support that is here, and for having the necessities of life. And just this opportunity to just be. You know, there's nothing that we have to do. There's nothing that we have to achieve while we're here this weekend. It's just a time to drop into being, you know, the simplicity of just being, just this breath. So another thing that I'd like to speak about is embodying respect for the practice in the hall. So this hall is a gathering place for us to do our practice, to meditate together. And so there are certain things that we call hall etiquette. And you wouldn't be expected to know this if you haven't been on a retreat, so that's why I'm telling you. So the first thing is, please arrive on time. And on time means a couple of minutes before the sitting actually begins. So arrive so that you can really gather your awareness, your attention. You can take your seat. And when we sit down to meditate, you know, we don't just sit, we take our seat. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. So we take a couple of minutes to take our seat. And don't wait for the teacher to arrive. The teacher, you know, whether it's Bruno or I, may be talking to somebody or doing something. So just, you know, arrive and begin to meditate.
If we're talking to something, you know, I don't know. Maybe we're not that mindful.
Well, or maybe we're having a deep communion with a tree. But then it's usually not in words. So please don't leave the hall before the end of the sitting. So, you know, even if you're coughing, it's okay to cough. I mean, if you feel you're really coughing and you need to get some water and, you know, you just really, if you actually feel you absolutely need to leave, then please mindfully leave without causing, you know, a disturbance as far as little as you can. But sometimes people cough a couple of times and run out of the room. If you have some water with you and you're coughing, you can have a drink of water. But you know, the water bottles should not be, you shouldn't drink from your water bottles during a sitting. Like take a drink before, or you know, wait till after, even if your mouth is dry. Because it causes a disturbance. And also, it causes a disturbance, first of all, to yourself. It's a distraction. So just notice that your mouth is dry. You know, it's okay. And then continue just being present. If you feel, sometimes people just feel like, you know, that maybe they're having a lot of restlessness in the sitting, and you just have a sense of, I can't meditate for another minute, you know, I just can't hold my meditation. So just take a break, you know, maybe relax your posture a little bit quietly, maybe just let the mind drift a little bit, you know, take a break if you really feel you can't meditate. And take a minute and then come back and see if you can start again. We have a few, most of our sittings are about 30 minutes. We have a few 45-minute sittings. maybe two or three. So for those longer sittings, whoever's leading it, Bruno or I, will ring a bell after 25 minutes. So if you want, you don't need to, but if you want to release your posture and just stretch or stand up, you can do that. Please do it as quietly as you can. And then the bell will be rung after a couple of minutes a second time, and then take your posture again. So just one ring means that it's a break, and three rings means the end of the sitting. So that's not usually done in sittings, but because this is an intro retreat, being easy on you guys. So give you a little break for the longer sittings. So in terms of, I mentioned water bottles, but please no food or other beverages, so no tea, no snacks. So if you have a problem sitting either on the floor or in a chair, because you have a chronic pain in some part of your body or an injury, so talk to me and we can find a place for you to practice in a supine position, so lying down, or standing up, is fine as well. So we'll find a way to, make it possible for you to practice with the group. And you can do that just sometimes, or you can do it for all the sittings, as you need to. And then just a last point about the hall. If you're the last one in, please close that door next to Janet. So you might not be sure you're the last one in, but if the hall looks pretty full, just close the door, and that reduces the noise from the kitchen.
Daryl, and the doors that go into the foyer, those need to be closed during sitting.
Okay,
both of the doors.
Right. Thank you. So now another thing is another piece of the retreat technology is the schedule. And the schedule, I've been to a lot of conferences, and I look at the schedule and I say, oh, this looks interesting. I think I'll go to this workshop, and maybe this is where I'm going to take a walk. This doesn't interest me so much. Well, I'd like you not to have that attitude toward this schedule. This schedule, think of it as the skeleton that gives support and shape to the body. This schedule really is the framework for right effort in your retreat. And so please just surrender to the schedule and don't engage in dialogue about, oh, I don't feel like doing that, or I do, or oh, I need a nap, there are always extreme situations which are exceptions to the rule, but on the whole, please just embrace the schedule, surrender to the schedule, whether you feel like it or not, come to the sitting, and you may surprise yourself, actually. What happens is, we might say to ourselves, an inner dialogue might go something like this. Oh, that last sitting was terrible. I was just thinking all the time. I just don't want to go through that again. I'm not going to go. Sure, that thought comes up, but then say, okay, thank you for your opinion, and come to the retreat, to the sitting, come to the sitting. Don't be driven by preferences or by past experiences, because past experiences is not a predictor a future experience. And of course, you might have had a wonderful sitting, what is considered a wonderful sitting. There actually are no bad sittings, as long as you're bringing your attention and your energy to the sitting. But you might have had a very pleasant, clear, peaceful sitting where the mind becomes more quiet and you feel really present. And then you might think, oh, now I've got it. And actually, the next sitting might be much more restless. So we don't know. The past doesn't predict the future. We're just present with what's coming up. And the same with the walking practice. We don't practice the whole schedule. We practice just this moment. There's only ever just this moment of entering the hall, just this moment of taking a step in walking meditation. So practice is like that. So we're always coming back to just this moment. And in this moment, we project our ideas into the future and we worry, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or that, or maintain the posture, it won't be pleasant experience. And then we can ask ourselves, well, in this moment, is it okay? In this moment, just sitting here, is it okay? And unless we're being run over by a truck, or a meteor is landing on the building, it's okay. It's okay. And usually the answer is yes, it's okay. When we're really honest with ourselves. Jana told you when you checked in about the woods and the walking down to the river, and so there's wonderful time for that. There's lots of unscheduled time around meal times to take walks. I really suggest that you not walk into town and go shopping. You'd be surprised. I mean, people are laughing, but so many people
you're giving ideas to people.
It's receive just the refuge that's here and give yourself this time to retreat from the busyness of life and all the consumer activities of life. Just let it be. And the mind wants distraction. The mind wants distraction because we're not used to just being present, just being quiet, being at peace. And we're used to continually, stimulating ourselves with many, many experiences. And until we tune in to how lovely it is just to be present and at peace and connecting with the natural world around us, there can be a kind of addictive quality of, wanting more stimulation again. Just be aware of that. You'll get from this weekend what you put into it. So it's not, it's not something that we just do and it's not like going to a spa and getting a massage. You get from it what you put into it. And so we need to keep bringing this commitment to keep arriving in the moment, to stay mindful.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org. www.dharmaseed.org/donate.